Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We are still reacting to President Barack Obama's speech from Cairo, Egypt, which we carried this morning. Ethan Bronner, reporter for our partner, The New York Times, is in Jerusalem. Noah Feldman is professor of law at Harvard. He's in Boston. For both of you, Ethan and Noah, before we say goodbye, you know, when I was in Israel a long time ago, the Israelis had a great sense of reverence for Jordan's King Hussein because he had such credibility and seemed to be able to speak to all sides of the conflict. There was a certain amount of, you know, envy of Jordan's leader. Do you think Barack Obama takes a role like this for some Israelis in that for whatever the problems are in the peace process, he is a voice of credibility who can speak to all sides? Ethan and then Noah?
Certainly for some, you're absolutely right, John. I think that there is still an enormous amount of nervousness in Israel, even among liberals and those to the left, that in the name of rewriting this tanker of American policy, as he views it, that President Obama, leaning toward the Muslim and Arab world in a way that could be neglectful or in some ways ultimately worrying to Israel. But I think that many people here have for a long time felt that the best thing a president of the United States can do for Israel is to help it do the right thing. And there certainly is a large constituency that feels that he is that man.
Thank you, Ethan Bronner of The New York Times. Noah Feldman, a final word from you.
I think we should just keep in mind that notwithstanding this wonderful speech, the question of, for example, democracy in the Arab world was one that he addressed very, very cautiously and carefully. He said, we're not going to push democracy on you. We care about the rule of law. And I think there will be some pro-democracy advocates, even in the Arab world, who are saying, gee, we'd like to be a little bit more full-throated on that question as well.
All right, Noah Feldman, thank you for being with us, professor of law at Harvard and author of The Fall and Rise of the Islamic State. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, our sports buddy and reporter and analyst, is also a practicing Muslim who observed this speech here in the studio with us. And I saw you nodding every time someone from the audience called out on that precise issue, the issue of democracy in the Muslim world. What's your reaction?
First of all, I think it was almost as if this speech was like his speech on race in Philadelphia. And he directly addressed some of the main issues, and he sort of spoke to each side, and he did it in such a delicate way. But I think he touched on history, and I think particularly with Iran, mentioning that there was an overthrow in the past was something that was just a nod of respect, and I think a lot of people took that to heart.
All right. And joining us now, of course, still with us is Professor Peter Ahn, Director of Middle East Studies Program at the Columbia University. Asra Nomani joins us now from Cairo. Asra, are you there?
I wish I was in Cairo.
Oh, you're in Virginia.
The D.C. suburbs, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not even getting my own text right here. What's your reaction? I mean, we don't want to have anyone speak for all Muslims, of course, but you listened to the speech, watched the speech. What's your reaction?
Well, I'm literally helping my son lace up his Ben 10 shoes. I'm an American Muslim mom sitting here in the suburbs, and his speech resonated with me. It gave me the kind of hope and inspiration that I think so many Muslims want and need desperately to face off against this ideology that is, you know, wreaking havoc in our world. I see the snarky comments on the web already, swiping at him over this or that. But the truth is, he was more inspiring to me than any mullah that I've heard from my pulpit at any mosque.
Asra Nomani, who is a journalism professor in Great Falls, Virginia. What I noticed that a lot of people in the audience applauded loudly when President Obama started talking about women's rights. And he made a point about, which is, a truth, but it hasn't been articulated by the President of the United States necessarily, which is that no country achieves economic development where women have no rights. And he got a lot of applause for that. Well, what do you make about that?
Yeah, I was just so touched that he talked about the daughters of Islam, because the truth is that we are suffocating them in so many ways in our Muslim world, and we have to just be bottom line honest about that. You know, just in the same way it was wonderful and appropriate for him to be bottom line honest about Mossadegh and Iran and the overthrow by the CIA of that democratically elected government and the rights of Palestinians, we have to be very brutally honest about these issues about the Daughters of Islam.
Now joining us from Cairo, Egypt, is Hanayin Hassan Hanessi, who is a resident of Cairo. Do I have that name right?
Yes, it is right.
Okay. What did you think of President Obama's speech, and where are you now?
I'm in Cairo, actually, and I think it was a strong, actually, speech, especially in the beginnings where he focused on history and he saluted people with Salamu alaikum. I think he burned barriers immediately. And I think he tried to acknowledge historically the role of Islamic civilization in Western culture and acknowledging the diversity within Islamic groups. And I think that was a very good and strong barrier.
Hanayin Hassan Hanessi, excuse me. We need to take a break, but stick with us, both of you. We will continue to have reaction and commentary from around the world on President Barack Obama's speech in Cairo, Egypt. This is The Takeaway. I'm Andrea Bernstein with John Hockenberry.